everyone. I'm Betsy.
And I'm Greg.
And we want to invite you to check out our podcast, Going on 30.
Each month, Betsy and I take a look back at a movie that was released 30 years ago that was either nominated or should have been nominated for Best Picture.
We talk about the legacy of the film, choose the best scenes and performances, and explore our own hot takes about the movie.
And we discuss the greatness of Tom Cruise, an actor who has graced our screens for multiple decades, taking on some of the most artistically challenging pursuits while displaying what can only be described as an everyman relatability. An actor, nay, a thespian, who pushes the boundaries of what the medium is capable of while revealing the humanity that's underlying.
All right, I'm done. I cannot tolerate this anymore. So listen to Going on 30 every month right here on the Popping Collar Speed, wherever you get your podcasts.
I love you, Tom!
Oh, jeez.
Hello, everyone. My name is Greg Knight, and I like watching, thinking about, and talking about shows. One of the great things about starting your own podcast is that there are some days where you actually get to talk to the creators of those shows. This is one of those days. This month, I got the chance to talk to Kelly McPherson, a producer of the recent Netflix release Testament, The Story of Moses. Letterboxd.com will tell you this is an illuminating docudrama series chronicling Moses' remarkable life as a prince, prophet, and more, with insights from theologians and historians. What I'll tell you is that this is an interesting project. It blends scholarship and drama, history and myth, and sacred storytelling to bring to life the Moses story from the perspective of all three Abrahamic traditions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So what happens when a Turkish film production company takes on one of the most famous biblical characters ever? Find out as I keep things under the stole with Kelly McPherson. But before we chat, here's a trailer for the series.
I had a dream. Shadow of a man. Surrounded by darkness.
Someone approaches, my lady. A stranger, yet he knows your heart.
My son has returned.
It's Moses.
This is Moses. God has commanded him to lead us out of bondage.
Let my people go.
Your people.
You appear before me without loyalty or gratitude to those who gave you everything.
I am not a man.
So much of the Judeo-Christian religion rides on Moses. He's a founding father.
He's special. He's God's chosen prophet.
You have disturbed the order of my kingdom.
You will never give those people their freedom.
Let them feel our displeasure.
What is going to happen now?
Death.
The power you wield is great.
Spare your people. Spare yourself the pain that will come next.
Let us go!
Everything about his life speaks to us to this day.
What it takes to get free is different than what it takes to stay free.
We cannot continue down this path.
If I yield to the God of the Hebrews, foundations crumble, we will disappear.
You were warned. He is the giver of life.
And a taker.
I have chosen you. Moses.
So I always start because I'm just curious about sort of creative people. What got you into the movie business? Why are you here?
Well, I'm dating myself. I originally got into the movie business because I wanted to write sitcoms. And then I got to Hollywood and sitcoms were dying. Like,
oh my God.
So I kind of eventually gravitated towards like historical documentary stuff.
Yeah.
And really love it. And I always say it's kind of like watching a series or going on a movie or going on a trip. When you sit down and start researching these and writing them, you kind of get into them. And so it kind of, for some reason, it struck a chord with me, and I've been doing it for a long time. So
Do you have like a history or like a documentary background?
Not like a hardcore documentary background. I did a lot of History Channel stuff, and I did stuff on the Founding Fathers, and I did stuff on World War II and the Greeks and the Rome. I mean, kind of a hodgepodge of all kinds of historical stuff. Yeah. I used to say I'd be really good at a cocktail party because I have enough like little odd facts, historical right. facts.
Yeah, you just accumulate all those little like fun facts along the way. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about this Moses series. You know, Moses has no shortage of sort of pop culture adaptations. You know, some of the most well-known sort of biblical movie adaptations are about this character. What were you looking for from this project to kind of differentiate it from other projects about the Moses story?
I think what we were trying to do, I mean, first of all, you kind of can't compete with like
Charlton Heston. Yeah.
Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments and even Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Yeah.
And even Prince of Egypt with the spectrum. I mean, they are what they are for a reason. But our whole thing was the way to make this different is filling in those gaps in the text where it's like when you ask yourself who was he as a person, or you know, what would this figure have been like, you know, somebody that had been through all these trials and tribulations and kind of started off being dealt a pretty bad hand, you know. And how do you track their rise and their evolution, his evolution, you know, like we said when we first kind of wrote down like our we always start with like little taglines or little summaries to kind of get our head around the themes. And it was like murder and fugitive to prophet and messenger of God. You know, what does that journey look like? And what does it look like on the inside? Because we know with the story and all the things we just, to all the other versions that have been done, what the outside can look like in broad terms, like it's big, it's epic. And so we wanted the intimate. And so we said, let's approach this story from the inside out, and knowing that the bigger set pieces and things will all be there and people are going to be drawn to those and they're going to recognize those, but let's try to bring a side of him out or a version of Moses that's maybe a little more of his inner life. And how do we make that, bring that to the screen where it's not just somebody with voices in their head, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's fascinating because then that makes it sort of a character study of Moses rather than, you know, what you were saying, that sort of myth making side of Moses. I wonder though, were you kind of, you know, the way that this docuseries is set up is that you have this drama sort of playing out, but then you also have these theologians and religious leaders that sort of come in and bring context to the story. Did you find yourself in the production sort of leaning more towards figuring out who an historical Moses would be, or sort of leaning more into the fantastic stories that are associated with Moses?
It's kind of not one or the other. It's a little bit of both, because I think. Speaking of him as like a character, it's like you can't ignore the, even if you're going for the inner life and like what drives him, you can't ignore the impact that the fantastical stuff and the external stuff had on him. Like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into?
Right.
what did I sign up for? And how, and really more importantly, I'm not the person for this. How am I ever going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit of both, but the way that we approach them, and I think the writers did an amazing job, and is you read everything you can, like all the different texts from the different religious texts and, you know, biographies and, you know, academic, you know, all kinds of works on Moses. And then the good thing is with the story and with those bigger pieces, you have your tent poles that you can hang episodes and your story on, and you know those are going to be there. And then again, it's like, but what we really want to know is how did he change, and how did this shape him as he's moving between these things, you know, these these kind of epic way stations, if you will. And so, but we always try to approach it from the drama first. I mean, our saying when we do any of these historical things is we're not trying to change history or the established story, but we want to how we get through it and how we fill in some of the gaps with the characters, kind of taking a little license about how they were impacted by stuff, what drove them.
Yeah.
And so that's the way we kind of go at it. We do a lot. We usually tackle the drama first and get our story. And then we'll be talking to the experts and we'll start to tweak and adjust the story with different things we learn from them. Because the beauty of it is you have personal access to a handful of people who've devoted their entire lives to this and are really so happy that somebody wants to talk about it and they want to share it with you. So yeah. Drama, documentary, and then they start to, and then the real challenge with this format of shows, this genre, is in interweaving those. So for us, the drama still drives it, but the documentary side illuminates it and adds other perspectives. Because for example, it's kind of a fuzzy example, but you may have something in there and we take one version of how it's portrayed in one of the texts. You can't do all three if there's differences. So you pick one, but the beauty of this is then you can have, you know, experts from different faiths or different beliefs give you also the different interpretations. So it's kind of a little dance, and it's not easy to do. But when it works really well. And I think it kind of brings something for everybody and say, oh, I feel represented. I recognize what they're saying. I can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking to that, mm-hmm. It's Netflix. I always tell people this whenever I talk about Netflix. Netflix is such a huge platform. Do you see this series, this docuseries, as more of sort of a global property? Maybe than just sort of an American story, because you have such a diverse cast, you have such specific setting for this story. It really feels like sort of a global story that you're trying to tell here.
Yeah, definitely a global story, but that you can pick a spot in the globe. You know, I'm sure there are exceptions where it'll work equally well in all of those different regions or markets or whatever. But yeah, international. And, you know, our company has always been based in Los Angeles and Istanbul. So we automatically come at that. And our whole thing, we did several Ottoman Empire series for Netflix, and it was to bring a side of that history together that's not from a strictly Western perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is a little bit different, but it's trying to bring out all those perspectives. And like on the set in Morocco, we had six or seven different languages being spoken, and you know, and so including like two or three different versions of Arabic, so probably like eight different languages.
Wow.
But it was great. I mean, we had teams from States, Turkey, Morocco, UK, and everybody. It worked really well. I was really happy with how it went. So it was global in every sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely comes through that way. I'm curious, was there something that you all learned over the course of this production that you weren't really expecting?
I'll be completely honest. I mean, I went to church when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in Texas, but I never read. Also, never read. I can't say I read the Bible in depth before this in a few classes in college, but I never read the Torah. I never really read the Quran, passages from both, but not extensively. I was amazed at the crossover between the three major religions.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest surprise for me. And it was a pleasant surprise. And it that was kind of refreshing. And it's that old thing. It's like, it sounds cliche, but it's like, there's more that unites us than we know, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was the big surprise for me.
Yeah, I remember I was telling a friend of mine after I watched a couple of episodes, I was like, you know, It's so funny because you think you know the Moses story, right? Because you just, there's so many versions of it that sort of float around. And then I was watching your series and something would happen and I would be like, I don't know that story, right? And then you would have a talking head come on and say, oh, that was from the Quran, or that was like Midrash or something like that. It's like, oh, there's so much more depth kind of here, right? That you can plumb. It's not just the biblical narrative. It's all of these other sort of scriptural texts from around the world.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because, I mean, honestly, before we got into, when we dug into and started researching the story, I didn't know what the Midrash was. And Jonathan Kirsch, it was great. He was like, there are a bunch of, he said, there are a bunch of rabbis sitting around trying to say, well, make sense of these things and try to explain them. And I think that's with all of it. I think that's what's interesting is you've still got this great story from beginning to end that is satisfying. But when you read it also, when you go a little deeper, there's still gaps in there. It's like, well, why did they do that? We don't know, you know? And so we tried to lean on those texts, those religious texts that were outside the bigger texts, but also like try to think of him as a human being, like what would, on a base level, why would he do this? Or why would he choose this? Or why would he keep that to himself? Or, you know, why would he choose now to unburden himself? You know, just things like that. So it was kind of, there are parts that it was definitely like choose your adventure.
Yeah.
And they're all good. It's just like, how do we make this feel cohesive? So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by the title of your property, Testament : The Story of Moses. What that sort of implies to me is that you may have some other properties that you're thinking could live under the title of this series. Are you thinking that this could potentially be a series that explores other biblical characters or other religious figures at some point?
Yes, I think for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
As long as enough people watched it. but yeah, and you know, in all these stories, the stories in the Bible and the Quran and the Torah, they're also they're archetypes, and they're really like the foundations of good storytelling.
Yeah.
And you could almost make a parallel to like almost anything on, you know, streaming or on television today and say, oh, there are those elements, you know, and that's the hero. And, you know, like the old Joseph Campbell hero's journey thing. I mean, you have all those elements that were there from the get-go. And that's why I think, you know, faith aside, even, I think that's why people keep coming back to these and they're fascinated with them, because it's good. It's just good storytelling.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And then people get attached to them. They feel like they know these characters. And so that's where it's great, because you're going to have something that's going to automatically appeal to people, at least like a touchstone. But it's also like, oh, they really are attached to this person. We got to do justice to this. And they're attached to this story. So,
yeah. 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 I would just say congratulations on this project, Kelly. I think that it's as someone who does this for a living, who talks about these stories and thinks about these stories all the time, I learned something from this series. So I think that you're onto a really great approach to storytelling, and just how stories, how we breathe life into these stories and into these characters. So thank you very much for this series, and thank you for your time today. Just as a plug, when is Moses releasing on Netflix, and when can people find it?
March 27th. Yes.
All right.
Next week. I can't believe it's finally here.
There you go. Check out your Netflix feed for Testament, the Story of Moses.
Exactly.